And a big aloha. This is the Travel Angel Radio Show. There's times I get super excited. And I am just thrilled because Kathy Taguchi's back from her trip to Egypt. She brought me this beautiful, beautiful gift. I'm going to cherish this one. You brought me this quartz in a lovely bag. And this was from the you climbed the
Moses Mountain.
Moses Mountain. But what do they call the mountain? It was their official name.
They spell it M-O-U-S-A, Moses Mountain. Oh. So Mountain of Moses, where he spoke to God and got the Ten Commandments.
Wow, and it was quite an interesting journey. We're going to spend the next 25 minutes or so talking about that. And then one of my favorite travel show hosts, Joseph Rosendo, is going to call in. He's gotten a bunch of new awards. And I've been watching his show on Saturday night on PBS, and he's gone to some really fascinating places. He went to Myanmar, and he got some amazing places in Taiwan I've never seen before. But I really am excited about you being back. Now, first of all, folks, if you're just tuning in, Kathy Taguchi is the owner-operator with Tina at Captivating Journeys, and you can always call them at 244-1414. And one of the fun things I love doing is hearing about trips, and I really have to thank you because you've been posting a lot of great pictures on Facebook, and I followed it and saw everything from your horse cart through Luxor to pictures of the Sphinx and really interesting adventures. Now, give people a background about this particular trip to Egypt. Now, you've been before and you'll probably go again, but this was it's a very special trip.
Yeah, we went 2 years ago with Gary and Andrea Smith, and it's marketed as a spiritual type trip, and so we had the opportunity to go again, and this time we took some clients. So there was a total of five of us from Maui, and then it was a very small group, total 10. So five from here, and the rest were from the mainland, and. So most of the trip was pretty much the same as we did the last time. Cairo, you know, do the usual, the pyramid, the Sphinx.
Sphinx doesn't have any barriers around it. The picture you took didn't. When I saw the Sphinx years ago, they were rehabilitating the Sphinx, and it was all boarded up on the bottom. But it looks like it's all put back together now.
Right. But not everybody can go down to the paws of the Sphinx.
Oh.
So with this particular trip, we do special things. We go to inside the pyramid, and just our group, we had probably maybe 2 hours inside.
Wow.
Because normally they only allow 100 people a day, and you can only stay about 10 minutes. So and they have either the queen's chamber or the king's chamber open. Uh-huh. We get to go in both, and you do a little meditation.
I loved your Facebook post.
Yeah, I actually had pictures, but Emil said, "Could please take it off Facebook?" So I might show it in our...
Your Facebook post that you had is totally black.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally black because it's dark.
It's dark. They turn off the lights, and then you hear the... it's chicken skin. Uh-huh. And actually, one of the ladies with us, she had... you know, we did a little meditation, and we were lying on the floor of the pyramid.
Wow.
And she was gone. She was in another world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a picture. We thought maybe she was dead, but she
transported.
She was breathing. So
if it's dark, how'd you even notice? Till you notice at the end? I mean,
we turned it on. They only turned the lights off for a little bit.
Oh,
so
I thought the
then,
whole time.
Not
dark.
The whole time. No.
Oh, okay.
But she was. She was gone, and she's like, "Well, did you hear this music?" We're like, "There was no music, you know," and you could just see she was somewhere. I don't know where she went. But
did she remember anything?
No, just that she heard music, like rock and roll music. We're like, "No, there's no rock and roll music here." And
that's funny.
And then we each take turns lying inside the crypt, sarcophagus, in the king's chamber.
Ooh.
And then. They do this little meditation, this om thing. And she's like, she felt somebody breathing in her ear. And like she was telling Rex, were you leaning over me? He's like, no. I mean, but she felt.
There was a presence.
There was a presence she felt. Yeah. Yeah.
So and she was she one from Maui?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I'd love to hear experiences.
Yeah, it was very
transformative.
Yes. Yeah. And then so we were in there for probably 2 hours, and then then we went over to the Sphinx, and then there's a barrier up on top. That's where most people can view the Sphinx, mm-hmm. but we get to go down and spend, I don't know how long.
So was it early in the morning at that point by the time you got out?
Yeah, because we left the hotel like about 4 in the morning.
Wow.
To go. And then the...
Which hotel were you in?
The Mena House, which is right... That's the closest hotel to the pyramids and the Sphinx.
Wow.
So we were there for a few hours just all by ourselves.
Mm, how fabulous.
Yeah.
Did the museum, is that finished?
No, 2020.
Oh, it's still going to be a couple years.
It's huge. We drove by it. It's huge.
Wow.
So and so they started taking a lot of the stuff out of the old Cairo Museum, like a lot of the King Tut's things were moved, so we didn't get to see everything, but we saw most. Yeah.
You know, it's so big. I got an email from the California Science and Technology in Los Angeles Museum. They're having a King Tut exhibit. Mm-hmm. I mean, to get tickets just for that, people are, late. There's a huge waiting line, list of people to get in. And so it's so hard for me to even fathom that people that would just do anything to see those exhibits. In Egypt, it's just all over.
It's just,
you're surrounded in the living history right there. And you get to go inside the pyramid in the middle of the night and the kings, and for that much time, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And I have, I think I'll write, when I write my newsletter, I'll post some of those pictures climbing inside.
Oh, yeah.
You have to climb up these things and you got to kind of do a little duck walk in a little tunnel. And
I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
And in the dark.
Well, that has lights. Yeah, that has lights. But then when we did the meditation, they turned off the lights. Yeah.
So I saw these awesome pictures. So after you left there, did you go to the Nile after you did the Cairo?
Then we flew to Aswan, and that's where we picked up the boat, the Afandina. And then we sailed like 5 days because we stayed on the boat a couple days in Luxor.
And this is like the beautiful, deluxe way to cruise the Nile, like a 5-star.
I wouldn't say it's a 5-star, but it's how the old, supposedly the boats were made in the days of Cleopatra. Mm. But it's very comfortable. It's like having your own home. We have a living room. We have the private chef. The food was, soups. Every day we were looking forward to the different soups. Mm. They had this feta cheese. Oh my God, it was like feta. It's like a creamy feta. Our feta is kind of
dry and crumbly.
Yeah, it was so good.
Oh my.
Yeah.
And you didn't gain any weight.
We walked a lot. Yeah. Especially up Moses Mountain.
yeah. So then you go down and you went to Luxor. And you had some great pictures I saw in Luxor.
Yeah, so we sailed.
Luxor is my favorite. I mean, still,
We sailed. We stopped at Esna and Edfu, and we did a couple of temples. We went to the Temple of Isis. Again, private, all just ourselves. The whole temple to ourselves.
What's that like, the Temple of Isis?
It's beautiful. I think that temple was probably my favorite.
Was that before Luxor?
That's in Aswan. Yeah.
Oh, in Aswan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm trying to remember if I went there or not. It's been so long since. I think I haven't been there in 18 years, maybe more. But the Isis temple is very powerful. If I remember, I think I was there, and that was pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. We had the sunrise there, and then we sailed and went to the Temple of Kamumbo, and then. Mm. Then we went to, I always get Edfu and Esna mixed up. So we did a temple in Edfu, and then we stopped at this little town of Esna. And we just walked around, the local town, which was
fun. Is it pretty empty of tourists? Was it pretty?
You know, it's tourism has picked back up from when we went 2 years ago. I mean, 2 years ago during just regular times, there was nobody there. I mean, when we went to our visitations, we had it all to ourselves because they time, like our Egyptologist, he's really good. If it's during the day that we were doing that, he knows when the ships are going to be there, so he times it that we're there before everybody else comes in.
And what's his name, the guy?
Emil.
Emil, yeah, I saw pictures.
Yeah, and but there was lots of tourists. There were a lot of the, on the boats on the Nile, there was quite a few. So in Luxor, we saw quite a few. Oh, and when we were in the Luxor Museum, I saw a Colette tour group.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they had about maybe 20, 25 in their little group. But it was nice that you did see tourists.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tourism is...
Was some of the pictures I saw of other people who've been doing videos from there, it was like, oh my gosh, it's so empty. But but thank God, because they've really been having a really hard time surviving without the tourism. Mm-hmm. So that's nice at that. But not overwhelming.
But they... And they have been saying that tourism is picking up, and even we get emails from all the different suppliers, and a lot of people are promoting Egypt, so that's good.
So Luxor, for those who haven't been there, you've got to go. I mean, it's the one that has the huge statue still, Ramses, and put his mark on that place. And it's so impressive, and there's amazing maze of statues that you go through, and they're all like really tall. It's pretty amazing. What did you do in Luxor?
We went to the Karnak, Temple of Karnak. Mm. We went to the Temple of Luxor. One day we drove out to Dendera to see the Temple of Hathor.
I haven't been there. Yeah,
that temple is where I felt the energy before, and I actually did feel it again there.
Is that the eagle? No, that's not the bird.
No.
Hathor's not the bird.
No, she's the temple, I forget which, goddess of love or something like that. And then we went to Abydos, which I hadn't been to. And that temple is where... on this one pillar, you can supposedly they think it was predicted the Gulf War, because there's hieroglyphs of looks like a helicopter and the stealth bomber. And in the back of that temple, they have this other temple that they say is 18,000 years old. I don't know, if that's true or not.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, and they have, are you familiar with the flower of life, that symbol?
Mm-hmm.
That's like where they first saw the symbol of the flower of life.
Really?
Wow. And then
Did you actually get to see that? I mean, is that underground or where?
It's above. Uh-huh. It's like down below, and then you could. It has this pool of water. It's all green water, but it's on a pillar, and you can see it. It's very faint, but you can see it. And then we went to this. Emil, our Egyptologist, he knows everybody, and he would just throw out surprises for us. So there was this temple, another temple that they just, I guess, maybe recently found. I forgot the name of that one. But it's not even really open that we got to see. So we're like, he's like, come on, follow me. And we're like traipsing through the desert. We're like, okay, where are we going? So they were still cleaning that one, but we could see, with all the colors of how everything used to be. So
it was more of the original state, not completely worn off, worn down. Mm-hmm. How amazing.
Mm-hmm. And so that was, so we did that one day, and then we did the Valley of the Kings. And then
that's always special. That's always amazing.
This time.
That's where King Tut.
Last time we didn't go into the King Tut chamber, but this time we did. And I thought And his mummy is still in there, but and it's very small. Mm-hmm. So when you see all the stuff in the museum, I mean, there was tons and like, how did they fit it all in there? And the color in that museum, and they had one of his cases, because, you know, it was like a one of those little Russian doll things where he's in the mummy in the case, in the case, in the case. So he had one of those cases. But so we actually went into that one this time, and then a couple other tombs. And, you know, he knows the town because he's from Luxor. Oh. So he knows all the guards and... So he would just tell them, okay, hold the group, you know, don't let anyone. We go in and do all this stuff. And
because when I went, it was just packed.
Yeah,
it was packed in there.
And then we also went into a different valley. It's next to the Valley of the Kings. It's where they found where the workers of the tombs that I know did all the carving and all. Mm-hmm. They had their own little village, so you could see that. But they had a tomb of one of the architects, and we went into him. It's very small, but it was, I think it had the most color that we had seen. So,
interesting. Well, probably because not hardly anyone goes,
there. Yeah, but Emil,
I mean, when I went,
in.
You could actually see it without in coverings. And I heard they've now got glass or things to protect it because the skin and the bacteria and the all the breathing was starting to really wear everything out.
Right. Yeah. Some of it had coverings and stuff.
Yeah. So then you kind of, from there you got off the
boat and then we flew to Cairo and then we spent the night at the airport and then we drove from Cairo to. Sinai, St. Catharines, and then we actually went under the Suez Canal.
Wow!
Yeah, which I didn't know. There was a tunnel.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, and so it was a small, not a long tunnel. Uh-huh. But along the way, we stopped at this little Bedouin village where they had I think they call it the Well of Moses, where after he crossed the Red Sea with. Everyone, there was no water, and God told him to hit the ground and
with his staff.
With his staff, and then they still have these wells that.
Wow.
Which was interesting.
And the wells still have water, and it's like a spring still coming out.
Yeah, they have a.
You can see that.
You can see it. And then we drove. It was a long drive, and. Through the desert.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, lots of security checkpoints.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
Because that was about, 3-4 hours to go?
It took us probably 8 hours.
Oh, that's a long one.
With our, we did a couple of stops.
Yeah.
And then we finally got to St. Catharines. And the hotel we stayed at was very rustic. I kind of likened it to camping. Uh-huh. But there's not much there, so And then we went to a Bedouin village, Bedouin home, and that's where I got the crystals.
These are really amazing. Yeah.
And they have.
I'll take a picture of this so I can people can see it.
There's also they have these rocks. They call it the rocks of burning bush, and I should have brought you to show it, but it looks like on it. A bush, and then you can break it, and then it's still inside. I don't know what kind of rock it is, but supposedly that's the only place you can find it in that area.
Then you had this amazing adventure going up the Moses Mountain.
Yeah. So my friend Gary said, oh, you go up to, the top of the mountain, and he goes, you just take a camel ride, and then you walk up some steps, and you're there. So we're like, okay, Well, didn't realize, and I guess I found out later that it's a pilgrimage mountain, and it's one of the most strenuous pilgrimages you can take. So
it's high in altitude.
Yeah, I think it's about 7,500 feet,
and it was cold.
It doesn't rain a lot in Egypt. Well, that When we left that night, and Emil, you can go any time that you want, but Emil said, you know, the time that you should go is sunrise. So we took a vote. There were six of us that did it. Alicia and I, there's two ladies and the rest four guys. You know, we were kind of voting for sunset the next day.
Yeah.
And then, because I thought, there's no way I'm going to stay up all night, because we had to leave at 12:45. And I'm thinking, isn't sunrise the next morning? And like, I thought, there's no way I'm going to stay up all night.
Yeah.
So we took a nap and then we were good. And it was beautiful when we started off, because you had to go on a camel for about 2 hours. You go to the, and I couldn't take I wanted to take pictures, but I was I was hanging on to that camel. I was like, no way I'm going to let this.
No, you're not going to let people take a picture and fall off.
Yeah, but my husband, him and another guy were down below us, and they got this amazing picture of the four of us that were up in front of them.
I want to see that. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, I hadn't posted it. But So that was about 2 hours.
That's a long camel
ride. And I actually wasn't tired. And then you get to I thought of it like base camp on Mount Everest. So you get to these little, the camel tent, and then they have tea and coffee, and you could buy candy, and then you had to walk 750 steps. And
that's
like,
a lot of steps.
And I was like, okay, that's not so bad, you know. But then they're on uneven.
In the dark.
It's about maybe 2:30 in the morning.
Were you counting the steps as you went?
They have little markers.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah. So they have these little Bedouin mountain guys that help you. And I definitely needed my little guy, Mohammed. And so we were like huffing and puffing up that. I'm not in shape, you know. None of us were totally expecting that, but
well, and on top of that, you have to really keep concentrated so you don't slip and fall.
Yeah, I grabbed onto my guy a lot, and then we get up to the next base camp.
How long did it take to go up the 750 steps?
I think he's like, oh, it's an hour and a half. I'm like, an hour and a half
straight uphill.
So we had little resting points, and then we had our little another base camp where everybody kind of gathers. It was like, I think 4 a.m, and I'm like, okay, it's another hour till sunrise, and then we decide, okay, you got 50 more steps to the top, and then my husband, good thing he brought a blanket from the hotel, he stuffed in his backpack, and we're like waiting for the sunset. I'm like, well, I think it's
sunrise,
yeah. And I'm like, I think it's, we're like, oh, it feels like rain, and then it was sleet.
Oh, God.
We're like, oh, okay. And then there wasn't a sunrise. And then we had to walk. It took us.
Walking downhill can be more.
Oh, that was hard.
That's difficult.
Our knees.
Yes.
My knees are killing.
Oh, yeah.
I kept my mountain guide in. Poor little thing. He's like 18 years old. He was like shivering.
Oh.
And it took us over 3 hours to walk back down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So we left at 12:45 from the hotel. We got back at 8:30, and we were all pretty grumpy.
That was a hard one.
Because we were like, we
did Andrea go?
No, she actually stayed in Cairo, and one of the other or other travelers, she actually got sick and she stayed. She stayed in Cairo at the Four Seasons. So, and she got a spa, and so she was all happy. And we kind of were cursing Gary's name a little bit on the way down. But after that, we were laughing.
Yeah.
Know, after we slept, and yeah.
And then you did go to the Four Seasons.
And then we did go to the Four Seasons.
Which is nice.
It was a nice.
Comparison to what you did,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you didn't get sick.
No,
because when you get that cold, you know, and that high,
yeah,
it can be stressful. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple people got a little stomach thing going on, but we were fortunate and we were fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, what an adventure.
It was.
What a lifetime adventure, you know. And you know, you have stories to tell and pictures that you took. And I thought of you, and I was very, very, I was looking at the pictures and really wished I was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an amazing journey. And like I say, it was done right. You know, you got to have that ability to be inside the pyramid and by yourself with and, two you know, hours and to see the Sphinx at the bottom and to go up to the Burning Bush Mountain, Moses Mountain. And I mean, that's a lifetime adventure.
And then we, in the St. Catharines Monastery, too, that's where we saw the actual, it was a cutting of the Burning Bush because the actual stump is inside a church on the top, but we could see it. And there again, Emil, he got us in. There's a little barricade, but you can see it. And then there was also the well where Moses met his wife in that monastery. So, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of paying off to get in to do those things. Like when we, it's amazing. I mean, to do that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
When we were leaving the Sphinx pyramid area, he had a wad of cash to give the guards so that we could do this kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you have to. That's part of it. You wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, those things, they don't allow you to get. And you know what? And I watch a lot of these you know, travel shows, and I try to keep track of it all. And I tell you the truth, I've never seen anyone. I maybe once had a little indication of something about going to that mountain, but not a lot of people do that, or they don't bother doing the video when they bother doing it. And I don't know if I've ever seen any information about St. Catherine's Church on TV or not. I don't think I have.
I didn't really, you know, look into it too much, but it was when I had posted something on Facebook, one of my travel agent friends that he takes Korean groups up there. He's like, oh, that's so beautiful. I went up three times with 70-year-old Koreans. I'm like, I don't think I'm ever going to go back up this mountain.
I don't know. I walk every day, but I don't know if I could do, and especially in the cold, 750 steps and then another 50. So you're really going 800 steps in the cold. And I mean, I think if I were to do it, it would definitely not be in the morning. Or at night. I'd do it for the sunset if I were going to do it.
Yeah, and the next day was beautiful. Yes, we're like, wow, it would have been really nice.
I mean, but just to be able to see and take pictures on the way in the light would be, you know, really great. I don't know. I mean, I still even, oh, dare I say, I've never gone up to Haleakala for the sunrise. I like the sunset, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I know there's people that's where you have to go see Haleakala at sunrise, but truthfully, now you have to make an appointment, right, and everything.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, truthfully, is it really worth it for that sunrise? I think sunset's just as nice, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's what I heard. But, you know, after we kind of talked about it, because coming down was hard.